true that sometimes we measure people up by what they wear, by the car they drive, by the home they live in. We live in a consumer society, and we all tend to easily fall into this trap if we're not careful.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host here with Senior Pastor from New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Jobe. Pastor Mark, this is an exciting season for Chicagoland residents to get into a church somewhere. And many people are wondering, where can I find a great church? Where can I find a church where I'm going to be welcomed, where I'm going to be engaged, where I'm going to grow in God's Word, a safe place, a friendly place? Because I've found going to church could be a scary thing. So what do you say to somebody who's saying, I got to find a spot?
You know, that's a challenging thing. And where you go to church, who you choose to fellowship, and the teaching that you place yourself under is vital to your spiritual experience. There are great churches all over Chicagoland that are Bible-believing, that love Jesus, and so we are partners with them. But if you want to find a New Life location, you can go to our website. And you could go to www.pastormarkjobe.com, and there's a link there. And a map that shows you, we have 25 locations around Chicagoland. And you could choose one of those locations and visit one of those places that's closest to you. I know that these pastors they have integrity. They love Jesus. They're preaching the word. Why? Because I work with these pastors. I coach these pastors. And we're a part of a team together. And so I want to encourage you to, if you don't have a church and you're looking for one and you want to get plugged in, that you would check out www.pastormarkjobe.com and go to the link of New Life Community Church to find a location near you.
Come give us a visit. Come give us a chance. We would love to meet you and engage you. And we believe that the church is better with people like you, and that you're better with a godly church preaching the word. So come check us out. We'd love to meet you.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. We continue in Pastor Mark's series called Identity Theft, and our message today is called The Possessions Trap. Our text will continue on in the book of Luke, chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark with today's Straight Talk called The Possessions Trap.
One out of every six Americans has experienced identity theft. And doesn't it aggravate you if that happens to you? Don't you feel sort of violated if someone charges something on your account? Well, that's not the identity theft we're talking about this morning. We're going to talk about an identity theft that is much more grievous than someone charging something to your credit card. This is spiritual identity theft. In fact, here's what I know, that in this auditorium with a few hundred people, I know that there are a whole lot of people here this morning that you are sitting here and you don't even know your identity has been stolen from you, but it has. And once you begin to restore it, you will realize what you have been missing. And so, if you're in Luke chapter 4, our identity is, the enemy tries to steal our identity three different ways. I call it the pleasure trap, the possessions trap, and the positions trap. The pleasure trap says, I am somebody if I feel good. The possessions trap says, I am somebody if I have possessions. And the position trap says, I am somebody if I have a position. And today we're going to talk about the possessions trap. Luke 4, chapter 5. The devil led him, talking about Jesus, up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So, if you worship me, it will all be yours. Now we find at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he has just been baptized, and God the Father has spoken with an audible voice from heaven, and it says, this is my beloved Son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus was led 40 days out into the desert, and now he was experiencing one of the strongest temptations he had ever experienced up till that time, and it all had to do with robbing his identity. And this particular temptation has to do with the possessions trap. In essence, the enemy is tempting him by saying, I can give you all this and your identity will change if you possess what I want to give you. You know, I was thinking about this and I was thinking, we live in a consumer society and we all tend to easily fall into this trap if we're not careful. I mean, isn't it true that sometimes we measure people up by what they wear, by the car they drive, by the home they live in, by whether it's a brand name or not brand name? Isn't it true that you sometimes have your identity placed in what you wear, where you live, what you drive? Isn't it true that if you're wearing something new, you feel a lot better about yourself? Come on, be honest. I mean, ladies, be honest with me. How many of you, when you're feeling a little bit gloomy, maybe it's a rainy day, or maybe you haven't gotten along with your husband well that day, and you just feel this urge to shop? You can't explain it. You're not really sure where it comes from, but you feel like, I need to shop, like now, today. And you're feeling a little bit down, but you go into that department store, and you gravitate towards the shoe section. Now, you already know because your husband has reminded you many times that you have 30 pairs of shoes in your closet, but you feel this incredible urge that you need another pair of shoes. And when you find that special pair of shoes, you buy them. And you don't even want to wait till you leave the store to put them on. You go in the dressing room and you put on your new pair of shoes after you've paid for them. And you put your old pair of shoes in the box and you start walking around the store with your new pair of shoes. And doesn't it do something to your identity? Suddenly you feel better about yourself. And you kind of walk and say, hey, check out my shoes. And it's a boost to your identity. You just feel better all of a sudden because you have something new. You see, that's what we call the possession trap. And I remember years ago, this is what the effect of possessions has on us. Years ago, when I was just starting the pastorate, I was 22 years old, just gotten married, and I was really, really poor. I mean, the church was giving me $8,000 a year, and there was no parsonage, and I had no insurance, and I was driving an old junky car and living in a small apartment and just kind of feeling a little sorry for myself, like, oh, Lord, how did I end up here? And there was a friend of a friend that had heard about our ministry and invited us down to Clearwater, Florida, because he had a condo on the beach. And so my wife and I flew down to Clearwater, Florida, and this was a real wealthy section, and we're on this condo on the beach in this wealthy area. And he had keys of his car, and he said, by the way, I have a newly remodeled yellow convertible Corvette that you can drive. So he gave me the keys, and I remember I got my wife in the car. I got in the car. The roof was down. I got in the car, and just there's something about sitting in a just newly painted Corvette that just kind of makes you feel better about yourself already. I sat down, and I didn't want to drive like this. Now I want to drive like this. You know, we're driving down Florida in this Corvette, you know, and other Corvette drivers come by, and I'm going like this, kind of like, you know. You got to say hi to the other Corvette drivers. And I thought to myself later, I mean, I had made the same salary, same place, but there's something about possessions that if you're not careful, makes you feel like, hey, this makes me have an identity. This gives worth or value to who I am, and it's easy to get sucked into that trap. The first point I want you to understand about this, I want you to take notes, jot this down. If you're going to understand the possessions trap, you need to know this. This trap, the possessions trap, starts by exposing us to what we don't have and creating a discontentment with our present identity and circumstances. You see, the devil led Jesus up to a high place and he showed him in an instance all the kingdoms of the world. The devil showed Jesus what he didn't have He showed him what he should have because it was the birthright of Christ and the destiny of Christ to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. And the devil shows him the kingdoms of the earth and he says, see all this? You should have this, but you don't have this. And I can give it to you if you just compromise. But you notice what he was doing. He was basically telling Jesus, you should have this, but you don't have this, and trying to create a discontentment in the heart of Jesus about what he didn't have. Do you realize that most of our greed and covetousness and most of the possessions trap starts by creating discontentment in our heart? How many of you know that? For example, you know, 2 years ago you got the mini iPod. He said, well, this mini iPod is nice. Man, I could load 1,000 songs on this. And this iPod is so cool. I listen to the messages I like and the worship tapes I like. And I could do podcasting. And man, this is nice until your cousin got the nano iPod. And then you're like, well, this mini iPod is, man, that's a lot slimmer. Man, this old archaic thing is so bulky, I can barely fit it in my clothes. You know, I want that. You see, you were absolutely happy until you saw something you didn't have, and suddenly you become discontent with what you have because you've seen something you don't have. And don't raise your hand if you can relate, because I know you can. And you were real happy with your car because it had great gas mileage, and it just was really well and hadn't broken down until your neighbor got another car. And then suddenly you start looking at your car and saying, you know, I don't like this piece of junk anymore. Why? You were happy until you were exposed to something that you didn't have. And now you had to have a seed of discontentment inside of you because the possessions trap starts when we're exposed to something that we think we should have and we don't. And that's exactly what was happening to Jesus. The enemy took Jesus there, and he was trying to expose Jesus, trying to create a seed of discontentment. I read recently, the New York Times had an article, and it said that each American is exposed to 3,500 desire-inducing advertisements every day, promising us that satisfaction is just one more purchase away.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Possessions Trap, which is from our series called Identity Theft. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a copy of this message for free, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 4. Our message is called The Possessions Trap.
Think about this. The average American, every day, you see 3,500 commercials, advertisements, audio. Open a magazine, it's there. Drive down the street, it's there. Turn on the internet, it's there. Watch television, it's there. 3,500 advertisements of one way or another telling you, you are not happy until you get my product. That creates a sense of discontentment inside of us. And we all feel like, I really have to have that. I was happy until I saw that commercial. Now I feel like what I have is not good enough. And the commercial, you know, you see the commercial, the deodorant, they're selling a deodorant. The guy puts the deodorant on, suddenly a beautiful girl appears under his arm. And you say, man, I want one of those. Because what it's really telling you is that you're really not somebody until you have this product. This product will change your identity. You will be somebody if you have this. That 14-year-old boy that goes into a shoe store to buy tennis shoes, he's not going to buy tennis shoes for the sake of sports. He's going to buy an identity. And you take him into a shoe store and you walk to the section where it's $40 tennis shoes and you're looking at him, test him, and he automatically goes to the $120, $150 tennis shoe section. And you're saying, hey, son, isn't this nice? Look at the color. Yeah, that's nice, but over here, this is really nice. Yeah, but son, look at this quality. This is, yeah, but look at this, mom. And let me tell you, he says, well, I think I really want this one. I'm going to tell you, he's not concerned about the resistance of the rubber of the shoes. It's not about the quality of the leather. It's not really about the cushion that exists in the shoes. Let me tell you what's driving your son to the $150 section. What's driving him to the $150 section is that he has seen the popular kids at school wear this shoe, and he wants to have that shoe because the in crowd wears that shoe. What's driving him is identity. He wants to be somebody. And he feels like if I have that product, then I will really be somebody. You understand how that works? And so the temptation that the enemy is throwing up to Jesus is that you could be somebody if you had the kingdoms of the world. That's the first thing I want you to understand about this. The second thing I want you to understand is this. The possessions trap lures us into thinking that our identity and happiness will be changed by what we own. Notice what the devil does in verse 6. And he said to him, the devil said to him, I will give you, you see all the kingdoms of the world, you don't have them, and you should have them. I will give you their authority, notice with me, their authority and their splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anybody that I want to. You see the subtlety of what the devil is doing here? The devil is telling Jesus, this possession comes with authority and splendor. Other translations say dominion and glory. You see, if you have this possession, you will have greater dominion and you will have greater glory. But you need the possession in order to have greater dominion and greater glory. You see, you'll get something, you will change if you have this. If you don't have it, you won't have splendor and you won't have dominion. Now, let me backtrack a little bit because there's a little theology involved in this that I think you need to understand. Let me ask you this question. The devil says, it has been given to me. The authority and all these kingdoms have been given to me. And he says, I can give it to anybody I want to give it to. Was that a truth or was that a lie? You never know when the devil's talking whether it's truth or lie. Well, typically it's half true, half lie. The truth is, it did belong to the devil. Do you remember back in the in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden? God created Adam and Eve, and God gave man and woman what? Dominion. He said, I give you dominion over all of this. What is dominion? Dominion is authority and power over all of this. I give it to you. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply over all the earth. God gave man the ability to have authority and dominion over all creation. And it was God's plan that Adam and Eve would rule over all creation, filled with the Spirit of God, according to the laws of God, and that this would be a peaceful, loving, God-harmony environment. But you remember what happened? The serpent deceived man and woman, and they sinned. And the moment that they sinned, something happened. The dominion that man was supposed to have was transferred over to the serpent. No longer was man in dominion, but now the keys of dominion had been given over to Satan. Do you remember, you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, oftentimes, have you ever heard the devil called the prince of this world? For example, in John chapter 12, verse 31, it says, now is the judgment come. Now shall the prince of this world, speaking of the devil, John 14, 30 calls him the prince cometh. John 16, 11 says, oh, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says, in whom the God of this world. So Satan is called the prince of this world, and he's called the God of this world. Now, I want you to hear me well. People often tell me, how can I believe in God, a just and loving and righteous God, if the world is full of violence and bigotry and rape and murder and incest and atrocities and poverty and injustice? How can I believe in God if He allows this? Have you ever been asked that question? Well, here's the thing. God created the world, and He gave dominion and authority to man to rule and judge the world in a peaceful, righteous way. Man gave the keys of dominion over to Satan, and now there's been a kingdom of darkness ruling over the world. So therefore, the system of darkness and oppression of slavery has been driven by the kingdom of darkness. That's why Jesus came. You see, the Bible says that Jesus came to be the second Adam. And do you remember in the New Testament, it talks a lot about the kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. In fact, Jesus taught us to pray a prayer that you've been praying, many of you, since you were little children. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What kingdom are you talking about, Jesus? Well, there's a kingdom of darkness that hovers over the world at this time. When Jesus came, He came to establish a kingdom of light. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, when you see demons cast out by my hand, you will know that the kingdom of God is upon you or among you. When Jesus came, He came with the purpose of establishing the kingdom of light here on earth. Are you tracking with me? Why did He come to do that? Because the first Adam had lost the kingdom, and Jesus is called the second Adam. What did the first Adam and the second Adam have in common? They were both born without a sin nature. Adam was created without a sin nature. Jesus was born through the Virgin Mary. And he was born through the Virgin Mary because the seed of sin is passed down through the lineage of man. And He had to be born without sin so that He could establish the kingdom of light. So since the coming of Jesus, there's two kingdoms that prevail on earth. It's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And they are in constant battle with one another. You see on the world today, you see the kingdom of darkness in operation. But you also see the kingdom of light in operation. It tells us in the gospel that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. There's clashes between light and darkness all the time on earth. Why? Because God is expanding His kingdom on earth, but the dominion had been given to Satan, and now God is retaking that which the enemy had stolen. Including many of our lives. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I mean that a lot of us grew up under the kingdom of darkness, and a lot of us have ruled our lives by kingdom of darkness standards. And the way that you come into the kingdom of light, Jesus said, you need to be born again. Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of light. Are you tracking with me? So, Satan said, all this has been given to me, and I can give it. That was true. It had been given to Satan. But he says, and I can give it to you, all the splendor and your glory. That's the lie part. The truth was that he had it. The lie part is that he can give away the splendor, the authority, and the glory. Listen to me. Authority and glory comes from God, no one else. Satan overpromises and underdelivers. And oftentimes when we look at possessions, we think if I just had that, I would have more authority and I would have more glory. But it's a lie. Even when you have it, you don't change. Are you tracking with me? Point number three I want you to write down. The end of verse 6 and 7 about the possessions trap. This trap, you need to understand that this trap comes with a price tag that usually affects our future, our family, and our faith.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in the first half of his message entitled The Possession Trap, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called Identity Theft. Please tune in on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. And as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app that you can find at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other great messages that you can download to help you with your spiritual walk. You can also contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300 if you would prefer to have a CD. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also would like to invite you to visit one of our New Life campuses. There are 25 New Life churches throughout Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message, and please do tell a friend. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great evening, and God bless.